Welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo, the director of AGLCA. Today our guests are Larry and Lola Huggins, and they are Platinum Loopers, and they're going to talk to us today about a spectacular side trip to the Great Loop, the St. John's River. Before we bring Larry and Lola in, I do want to take a moment to recognize and to thank our Admiral-level sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage all of our listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And without further delay, I'd like to welcome Larry and Lola Huggins to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Glad to be here.
Thank you for being here. You two have done the loop at least twice since you're Platinum Loopers, but I think you've done it a little bit more than that. Is that correct?
Well, about 2.5 times, but only 2 times completely around, although it was a multi-year experience each time because we wanted to spend more time and enjoy places along the way. So we, instead of trying to do it within one season, why we spread it out over 2.5 years one time and 3 years the next time.
Definitely a fun way to do it. And most of you probably recognize Larry and Lola from our rendezvous. They're frequent speakers at those, as well as our Looper Lifestyle seminars. And they both also serve on the AGLCA Advisory Council. But this is their first time on Great Loop Radio. So thank you for joining us today. We're going to talk about the St. John's River, which is a delightful detour, if you will, to the Great Loop. Start by giving us a little bit of an overview of the type of cruising that loopers can do on the St. John's River.
Well, it's certainly something that I would urge you to give serious consideration to as a side trip. Without question, it was the most exciting and fun side trip that we took. So exciting, in fact, that we done it twice, once on each of the loop times around. Of course, the second time wasn't so surprising like the first time was, but it did surprise us a lot because of the nature of the cruising. First of all, the St. John's River is a north flowing river in Florida, and it's about 160 miles in length as far as the distance that you can go with a cruising style boat, and has 2 very distinctly different sort of ambiance sections to it. The lower section from Jacksonville until you get to Palatka, Florida, is a very flat, wide river. So flat, in fact, that it is tidal. And in fact, the current, the only real current that you'll notice on the river deals with the tides. So that until you get the 25 miles from the Intercoastal Waterway intersection up to Jacksonville itself, you can experience pretty significant tide currents, maybe 2 or 3 miles an hour if you're trying to buck it at this point in time. But it also means that the water is brackish until you get almost to Palatka. And so consequently, that section of the river has one character. I wouldn't call it as spectacular as the most southern half of the river, which begins at Palatka and changes surprisingly abruptly. You go underneath a bridge, the river is now suddenly much less wide, and the whole nature of the bank and everything that you're going to see from there further south to the city of Sanford is really quite different, what could best be characterized as old Florida style of banks and so forth, like the original was at. Very little development along the waterway. So mm-hmm. You're really back to nature. In fact, I would sort of categorize the whole side trip as sort of a back to nature trip. It's one that you're going to need to utilize your dinghy substantially if you're going to really touch on and appreciate the beauty and the nature that you get a chance to visit on this river. So, as I say, very high contrast between the two sections. Both of them have excellent facilities along the way, so you don't have any real problem in finding marina type facilities or an opportunity if you wish to anchor even in the lower section, the lower section, which of course is up north closer to Jacksonville. But in particular, the opportunities for anchorage and really enjoying gunk hauling come to fruition in the lower section of the river, the most upstream reaches of the river.
Okay.
And I think without question, in that upper half, we saw more aquatic life, more bird life and so forth in higher densities than any place else on the loop. Just incredible.
Well, let's talk about the wildlife then for a minute, since you touched on that. You mentioned the birds, and I don't know if you know any of the specific species, but I know even beyond the birds, because it's such a pristine back-to-nature area, you do see a lot of wildlife. So tell us about some of the birds or some of the other species that you saw on the, I guess, mostly on the lower part of the river.
Well, of course, in terms of birds, you see eagles and blue herons and egrets and all of the birds that are associated with the water. Of course, the cormorants and birds of that nature are still plentiful and so forth, but everything that can feed on the fish and other aquatic life are teeming in the area is the best way to characterize it. As far as other kinds of aquatic life, the alligators, you know, the turtles, the manatees. I'll talk specifically about the manatees in a bit because that's maybe an unknown and undiscovered gem that is a part of this trip that should not be missed. But in any case, these kinds of experiences with all this very, very numerous kinds of wildlife is best enjoyed when you're using your dinghy and taking some of the tributaries of the St. John's River in the stretch from Palatka on south to Sanford. Sanford is the city that about 5 years ago became sort of infamous for the Trayvon Martin case, and mm-hmm. is only about 30 or 35 miles away from Disney World. So it's sort of incredible to be in this old Florida uninhabited section and know that by the time you get near the southern end of this, you're only 30 or 40 miles from Disney World and really quite a fantastically different kind of ambiance.
Mm-hmm. So, Larry, I think you said the whole navigable portion of the river was about 160 miles?
Yes, that's correct. That's the actual St. John's River. You can't really go beyond the city of Stanford in cruising-style boats. There are fixed bridges mm-hmm. and so forth that prevent you from going further than that. But
okay.
There are numerous small tributaries, some even called rivers, that come into the St. John's throughout that whole stretch from Palatka to Sanford. And those often are too shallow to take your cruising boat up there, but there are certainly plenty of places to anchor and get in the dinghy and then go up the rivers and tributaries to really see the wildlife up close and personal.
Mm-hmm. And for those loopers or other listeners who perhaps don't live in areas of the country where alligators are make frequent appearances, I mean, I have them in the creek in my backyard, so I understand what it's like to be around them. But for those maybe who aren't familiar with dealing with the gators, is it something to worry about when you're out there in your dinghy?
Well, I didn't try to go up and pet any of them, but on the other hand, they're not especially aggressive, particularly when you're going up in the winter times and the waters are colder. For the most part, they'll be out on the banks to catch more sun and get warmed up and so forth. And we were probably, you know, from even the big 12, 15-foot alligators, we were probably only 20, 30 feet away from them, and none of them ever budged. maybe open an eyelid to look at us as we motored by and so forth. But they seemed both not surprised to see other people there and not particularly concerned about it. It was obviously their place. And as I say, you don't, I wouldn't have gotten out of the dinghy and so forth and tried to challenge them in any way. But I didn't feel that it was unsafe to be that close to them. For the most part, you can stay at least 100 feet away from the banks in those rivers. They're just quite shallow because there's very little topography elevation change in the area. And for the most part, you're dinghying through swampland. And so everything is flat and gentle, and on the tributaries, generally, you know, shallow, 3 foot and less depths there. But the river itself has plenty of depth, so that there's not a problem staying in the river with the cruising craft.
Okay. And if correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the two of you travel without pets. Is that right?
We do travel without pets, yes. Now, I would have been a bit concerned about putting a dog or a cat ashore in these tributaries with the alligators and so forth around. But, you know, it isn't that they're just every place so that you don't have any possibility of doing that. And there are certainly places that you could dinghy up to the bank. And I say, you know, you'd sort of want to pay attention to the animal, but I think,
but it's doable with
be,
a pet that needs to be
yes,
brought ashore.
I believe it's doable without great risk, kind of thing. Just I can't claim that there is zero risk associated with it, but
sure.
You know, and certainly there are also fairly numerous marinas along this place, ever 20 miles or so, and so. If you're really concerned about that, you could have stayed at a marina and taken the animal ashore where, you know, everything is, you know, mowed and kept and as you would expect at marinas. It's just that there's no metropolitan area. It's not the place that you'd, I would say that you should, you know, stock up on your groceries and so forth before you leave Palatka until you're planning to get to Stanford. Along in there, there's really no place that I know of that you could get significant groceries. You can get snack kinds of things and so forth at some of the marinas, but it's not really a grocery area.
Okay. What are some of the marinas, if there are any in particular, that you would recommend?
Well, first of all, what I recommend that one do is to acquire a copy or go online and look at the Florida Cruising Directory. This is a publication that the state puts out that describes all of the cruisers' kinds of facilities throughout the state, but they've got a fairly extensive section in there that deals specifically with the St. Johns River. So it identifies every marina along the way and gives you phone numbers for contact and all that sort of stuff. So, as I say, there's an online version of it if you don't want to spend the, I think, $15 that they're charging for a printed copy of that now. It comes out every other year, so you get a new edition every other year. We looked at two different ones of those that were differing by 4 years in publication date, and I can tell you that there wasn't a huge amount of difference between the two, but there were some phone number changes and things of that nature, so that a reasonably current issue is useful, or confirming it with the online edition that is the most recent edition that's available.
Okay. And does that resource cover anchorages as well?
It does. Although the anchorages in the upstream reach of the St. Johns River are just so numerous that what happens is the river is very, very windy and meandering up in that zone. And then almost all of those have big oxbows that come out from them so that you can go around them. You know, often they will have water depths of 6 to 10 feet in them. And but just don't plan on talking with any of the neighbors, because the only thing you'll have there are trees and the aquatic life and birds that are around, because it's really an isolated kind of thing. You just can hardly think of just how different it is between what isn't all that far away. But it really is a fantastic experience. If you enjoy nature, you enjoy birds and turtles and even a snake or two and a few things like that, have an opportunity to see all of those in quite substantial numbers. We toured the thing the first year in the month of February and the second year in January. The second time we were up there, it was much colder weather. Yes, I know we were in mid-Florida, and I know what all of the publications show, but it can be quite brisk. And we saw substantially less of the gators and so forth the second time around, just because it was so cold they had decided that water was better for them than being out on the bank. And so we didn't see nearly as many gators or things of that nature the second time. But the first time was really spectacular in terms of the number. I also want to highlight one of our favorite experiences along the way. And this is about a place about 20 miles north of Sanford. So you're getting close to the end of the trip, but it's a place called Blue Springs State Park. Blue Springs State Park is noted because of the spring that comes out there. There is a freshwater spring that discharges 100 million gallons of water a day, and it is 72-degree water year-round. It turns out that manatees and other aquatic life have this spring highlighted on their vacation area. And so manatees annually winter in this spring. The spring is about almost a half a mile away from the river itself, and then there's what's called a spring run, where the water discharges from the spring and flows out into the river. The water is crystal clear, just like you'd find in a drinking glass, and you can see all of the aquatic life that enjoys and lives in this 72-degree water. Typically, there are 150 to 170 manatee that winter in that spring run every year. This is all the way from mature ones to the young and so forth. And there's a trail with viewing stands and so forth along the spring run. So it's really organized for humans to see and appreciate and enjoy. And you can, again, just take your dinghy up to the shore there, park it, go ashore, and walk this half-mile trail along the spring run and see both manatee and all other kinds of water life as well. And just delightful. We happened to be there over a four-day period. It turned out that at some point in time there must be an election that occurs among the manatee, and they decide what is the date that is time to leave and head down the river to go back into the ocean and so forth, because within a period of about 36 hours, we went from 150 manatee to three. And so they sort of all leave in pods of maybe four to six or eight at a time. But in a very short period of time, they've all concurred that now is the time to head down the river and go back into the other waters that they summer in. But
and what was the time period on the calendar when that happened, Larry?
We were there that year in late February. And if you call the state park, they can pretty well tell you where and when things are going to happen and let you know for sure whether or not it'll be there. But if you enjoy a manatee at all, it's an incredible place to view them. In fact, since they are so persistent about coming back to this area, the rangers there have named many of the manatees, and they can recognize them by the scars and so forth that are on the backs. Often the older ones have had scrapes with boat props and other things, and have left unique markings on them, and the rangers have identified who they are, and they recognize when they return each year. So you have that kind of knowledge that's available to you from the rangers and so forth to help make the visit really a special one.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break right here and hear a message from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a moment.
All right.
When staying at the new Fort Myers Beach Marina, enjoy full resort access to the Pink Shell Beach Resort, complete with concierge services, 3 pools, and 2 restaurants. Pink Shell Beach Resort and Marina is located along 1/4 mile of Sugar White Sand Beach. As a marina guest, you will have access to their fitness center, shower facilities at the full-service Aquagene Spa, Audrey's Market, free beach chairs, a daily newspaper, 3 pools, and pool towels. Laundry facilities, a game room, and beach activities are available, and the marina portion of Pink Shell is pet-friendly. For more information, visit www.pinkshell.com or call 855-203-5105. Pink Shell is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
And we're back on Great Loop Radio with our guests, Larry and Lola Huggins. We are talking about the very pristine side trip of the St. John's River as a detour on your Great Loop. Larry, you've kind of told us about some of the hidden gems that are back there in the river, and it does sound like a very natural and pristine trip. Did you see a lot of other boaters while you were on the river?
There's certainly, you're not totally alone and on your own. It wasn't heavily trafficked, but certainly we saw other boaters every day, and we spent our nights in a marina. Not always, but usually we did that just because the admiral on our boat prefers marinas, and we enjoy the opportunity to visit with the people at the marina, both other boaters and the marina operators and so forth. And by the way, I should also second the recommendations there for the Pink Shell. We've had a chance to visit that, and it is a delightful place to stay. Not on the St. John's River, but nevertheless, still a delightful marina. But and of course, at the marinas, we would see other loopers as well. Not so many loopers, you know, you're on a side trip. You're not really directly on the loop. And so, unfortunately, a lot of the people don't take the time to spend the couple of weeks that this trip really deserves to make that trip. Since we were wintering in the area, it was easy for us to do that.
So we like to recommend that all of the loopers go at their own pace, and we recommend not having much of a schedule. I know you're a proponent of that theory as well. But
absolutely.
How much time did you spend? I believe you said a couple of weeks. Is that about what you recommend people a lot for this side trip?
The first time we spent actually a month on the trip, but then we did have quite a bit of family and friends in and spent time with us and so forth there, and we spent the better part of a week at Sanford just enjoying the marina facility there and making some other runs back out into the river with the dinghy and things of that nature. The second time we spent 2 weeks on the trip. So it's certainly doable in less than that, but if you're really going to enjoy and savor the opportunities that it provides, it's best not to rush it. The river itself, I would say, doesn't really offer any navigational hazards, but on the other hand, some of the places off to the side that have adequate water for a cruising-style boat have what can best be described as vegetation hazards. In other words, a lot of aquatic leaves and weeds and so forth, and if you're not careful, you can get them wrapped around the prop or the water intakes for the engines and so forth. So that's the only real navigational hazard that I would mention as far as the trip is concerned.
Okay. And just as we wrap up, are there any land-based opportunities to tour things that you would recommend, or is it mostly on the water in this area?
It really is pretty much on the water. I would mention mm-hmm. that there's also just a tiny side trip and an interesting place to stop near Jacksonville. Again, contrast here. There's at the south west corner of Jacksonville, there's a river called the Ortega River that comes in there. This is a place that has a substantial number of really high-quality marinas near the junction with the St. John's River. But if you then take the dinghy from one of those and go up the Ortega River, then you, again, even right in the suburbs of Jacksonville, Florida, you get into an area that is all forest and vegetation, and again, you know, you can see eagles and gators and all sorts of things right there in the Ortega River, right near Jacksonville. You know, maybe 5 miles from the center of Jacksonville. So it's just hard to imagine that, you know, you're basically in a city, but you're also isolated out in nice quiet area. Again, a dinghy is required for that type of run, but the only really big birds that you see there beyond the eagles would be the big birds that come up from the Jacksonville Naval Air Station. That is also about 10 miles south of Jacksonville. Once in a while, those fly over you, and you do then get the message that you're not that far from civilization after all, because it's a very busy naval base for air transport there.
All right. Well, Larry, we are about out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. And please thank Lola as well. I know we were thinking the two of you could be on speakerphone, and audio quality-wise, that wasn't quite the best way to go about it. So we didn't really get to hear much from Lola. But thanks to both of you for putting this together and for sharing your knowledge of the St. John's River. We'll talk with you again soon, I hope.
All right. We'll look forward to it. Bye-bye.
And thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with another edition of Great Loop Radio. Until then, safe cruising.